the dead will rise. The dead will rise. Hallelujah. Now, this concept of the resurrection is very fundamental to Christianity. Hallelujah. Without that, our faith is not very different from any other religion. You know, one of the main differences between Christianity and all other religions is the fact that the person we are following did announce calmly that he was going to die. See, death is not something people are able to talk about with calmness. For people don't even like to refer to death, especially in connection with themselves. Is it not true? Have you heard someone say before, sometimes when they are talking, they will come, the closest they would come to it is that they would say something like, if something happens to me, then they'll add, God forbid. Even without naming the thing, they are already cursing it. You see, so there's God forbid, first of all, even before I say what I'm about to say. And then I say nothing after that, which is that if something happens to me. So people generally are not able to talk about death, and much worse, their own death. Hallelujah. But our Jesus Christ spoke about his death. He told his disciples that I am actually going to die. And after 3 days, I'm going to rise up again. Hallelujah. In fact, one day he said that no one is actually taking my life from me, but I am laying it down that I may take it back. Hallelujah. That is someone worthy of following. What do you think? That's someone worthy of following. We're not following someone who was an unfortunate victim of the cruelty of man. But we are following someone who purposefully and intentionally and according to the will of God submitted himself to be crucified by human beings he created, that he may rise up from the dead for a sign unto all mankind forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
That is the person we are following. So this concept of resurrection is a very, very important one in Christianity. And without that, our faith is not very special. It is the thing that separates Christianity from every other religion. Hallelujah. Which is that for most other religions, their leader or whoever they're following has a tomb or has a grave or has a place that has become sacred where people go to go and worship, you know, seasonally, but not so with our Jesus. Hallelujah. Not so with our Jesus, because he's not in a grave. The Bible says that he rose again from the dead. Amen. And one of the reasons why God decided to use the rising of the dead to prove that Jesus was the Christ is that death itself is mankind's worst enemy, isn't it? No matter what condition, no matter what problem you have, people seem to want to try to help you until you die. Is it not true? Yeah. As long as you're breathing, they try to help you. Even where the case is terminal, they still try to give you some pain medication. Sometimes the doctors know that beyond this point, there's nothing medically they can do about your situation. But even there, they don't give up on you. They don't just give up on you and just let you go ahead and suffer and be in pain. They still try to help you and to do something little just to make it a little easier and to make your life a little more comfortable. But that continues until you die. As soon as you die, all help stops. As soon as you die, they pull the covers over your face, you know. They stop administering all medication. No nurse comes around to take your temperature anymore. No one is interested in your blood pressure. You know, all the lab tests stop. You know, no MRIs, no CT scans, no lab results, no x-rays anymore. As soon as you are dead, all help stops. Because at that point, human beings recognize that they have encountered the greatest enemy of man. Do you understand? And there is no solution for that. And so they give up. So that is what happened to Jesus Christ. Which is that Jesus, by allowing himself to be crucified, took on man's greatest enemy. And by allowing himself to be killed by human beings, he set the stage to demonstrate to all of us once and for all that he has power over the worst thing that can happen to a human being. So he allowed himself to be crucified and he was buried. And then on the third day, the Bible says he rose again as he said he would. Amen. He rose again as he said he would. And he appeared unto the disciples. And it is that evidence that has actually propelled Christianity through the ages up to this day. Hallelujah. It is because of that demonstration of his power, you know, to overcome death. And God showed us in that resurrection that if Jesus can overcome death, the worst enemy, then he can overcome anything between nothing and death. Can I have an amen? If Jesus rose from the dead and overcame death, then your little health problem is not a big problem before him.
Right.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means your financial difficulties are not a big problem before him. Hallelujah. So the resurrection of the dead is a very important thing for a Christian. And every Christian must believe in it. And every Christian must celebrate it. Because that is where our victory lies. That is where our confidence in this faith lies. That Jesus Christ came as a man and he came to live a regular life on this earth. And then he was crucified, he died and was buried. But on the third day, God raised him up again from the dead. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right. Now, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let me show you one or two more things, and then we will bring the service or the sermon at least to a close. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh no. See iPad now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There. Verse 1. Okay, it says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you. Do we have it? Okay, yeah. I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved. Okay, in which you stand, by which you also are saved. If you hold fast the word of God, which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now. But some have fallen asleep. That means some are dead. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Hallelujah. So what he's saying is that if we are preaching that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, how is it that there are some people who do not believe that Christians will rise from the dead one day? Hallelujah. Notice how he begins the thing. He says, here is the gospel. The gospel is simply this, that Jesus Christ came to the earth. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. And he rose again. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. And he said, this is what was preached to me, and that's what I preach to you. When you hear someone say, I'm a preacher of the gospel, he's saying that he's a messenger or a carrier of this simple message. Do you understand? The message being that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Do you see that? So that Christ died for our sins. That's different from Christ died from malaria or complications from diabetes or what are the things that kill people? Or high blood pressure. Do you understand? Christ did not die from high blood pressure. That's why the Bible is making it clear that he died for our sins. That's the only reason why he died. He did not die because he had an unhealthy lifestyle. He didn't die because he was in an accident. Christ did not die from falling off a tree. But Christ died for our sins. And then he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. And Paul is saying that this is what was told me, and that is what I've been preaching to you. And that sums up the gospel. And then he goes on to talk about how Christ rose from the dead. In other words, the evidence of his resurrection is not just based on what one person said, but that he arose and he appeared to many people at different times and in different places. Do you understand? And so there are many witnesses to the fact that the man they put to death was the man who rose up from the dead and came to show himself to them. Hallelujah. So now he's making a statement that if this is what the gospel stands for, how is it that some Christians or some people say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Is it not the case? Yeah. And if Christ has not been raised, then of course our preaching is vain. Isn't it? And your faith also is vain. Amen. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then my preaching is vain. Do you understand? Then my whole vocation is in vain. You see, my special dress. You get it? See, now I'm going to share the dresses with some of you ladies. All right? But my special dress is in vain. But it doesn't stop there. Your presence here also is in vain. Can you see how critical it is for you to believe in the resurrection? It says your presence, your faith as a believer also is vain. Amen. And then verse 14, it says, we just read verse 14, verse 15. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. In other words, if the dead are not raised, then we are also false witnesses, because we are claiming that God raised Christ from the dead and he did not raise him from the dead. You get it? Verse 16, it says, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. Can you see that? You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, that means those who died in Christ, have perished. And if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, then we are of all men most to be pitied. Hallelujah. That means if a Christian does not believe in life beyond this existence, then he's saying that we are of all men most pitiful. Because actually, you think about it. If this is all there is to life, then we are of all men most pitiful. In fact, life doesn't make much sense unless you can think of an existence beyond this one. Do you understand? Just like pregnancy does not make much sense unless you can think of an existence beyond the womb. Are you following what I'm saying? Because what would a baby be doing here? Why should someone take on the trouble of allowing another human being to grow in her body forever? Do you understand that? Yeah. And even if it's not forever, if it's not for, let's say you get pregnant and then the baby stays in your womb and it stays there and 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 then one day disappears. Do you get it? It sounds absurd and it sounds painful. But one of the painful things I have found people going through is like they're having the experience of a miscarriage. It's very painful. And as a pastor, many times I don't even know what to tell the person. I know of people who have carried a baby and carried the baby so many different experiences. There was one church member of mine at one time. She had to hang upside down. You see, every time we went to the hospital to see her, her bed was like upside down because she had what they called an incompetent cervix. Is that correct? Cervix, right? And that means her cervix couldn't hold the baby, you know. And so they were trying to relieve the cervix of pressure from the baby. And so they would hang her upside down. I tell you, I'll go and visit her and her feet are up and her head is down. And she would go through that for months and months and months and months and still miscarry the baby. So painful. Do you understand? Yes. But that's exactly what it is. If life in the womb cannot be followed by life outside the womb, then life in the womb must not even begin. What do you think? Yeah. So put yourself in the shoes of a baby. If you were to tell a baby in the womb that there's life outside the womb, do you think he would believe it? Do you understand? Yeah. That's why they come out crying. Yeah. Because when they come out, they feel robbed. They feel that, you know, something they were enjoying has been taken away from them. Do you understand? They feel that the life inside there is actually a better life than the life outside there. And to some extent, they are right. Are you getting it? Yeah? But how could a person think, or how could a baby think that all there is to life is just to be lying in water all day? Do you understand? Yeah. The better life is actually outside it. But it cannot believe it. It cannot possibly imagine that you will stay here only for 9 months and then after that you will be ejected and evicted whether you like it or not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So listen, if you can believe that, if you can believe that when life begins here, it is only a phase of it, and that there is another phase which is actually longer and more complex than the life over here. If you can believe that, then why can't you believe that this second life also is just a phase? That there must be another life, because you don't even have to be a rocket scientist to believe this. The truth is that even if you don't believe in afterlife, at least you know that people transition. We know that there were people who were here at some point, and they are not here anymore. So the question is, where did they go? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it is very important for a Christian to understand that this is not all there is to life. That the Bible says that one day all Christians and all people who have died will be raised up again. That's what the scripture is saying. So let's read on. Let's read on. Let me just show it to you very clearly. Are you following my message this morning? It says, where are we? If we have, verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, then we are of all men most to be pitied. Hallelujah. Yeah. It means then that a chicken or a goat or a sheep or a deer is actually of more use than you and I. Isn't it? Because at least they live, and then at some point, they end up on our plates and it'll become some soup of some sort. And then it works. Do you see what I'm saying? But so if it is in this life only that we have hope in Christ, that means if your thinking ends only in this life, then you are of all men most to be pitied. Hallelujah. Now verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. In other words, Christ has been raised from the dead as the first example of those who are dead, who will rise again. Can you see that? For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority, etc., etc. Now, just skip with me very quickly to verse 51. Verse 50. It says, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood, that means you in this form, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. In other words, our perishable bodies cannot inherit the imperishable state that we need to be in order to enter the kingdom of God. You see, like the baby. See, when you are born, you change. That is why, before you are born, you are lying in fluid and it doesn't kill you. But after you are born, when you are dropped in water, you die. Have you realized that? Yeah. What it means is that when we transition, do you understand? When we transition, something changes. And that change is necessary for you to be able to live. So when you are in the womb, you are connected to an umbilical cord. You don't eat rice. You don't eat chicken. There's nothing like that for you, right? But when you are born, then that cord has to be cut. So your existence is now changed. And that's what the scripture is saying, that the way we exist now cannot enter the kingdom of God. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God in this state. And in our perishable form, we cannot take on the imperishable body that will live in heaven forever. Hallelujah. Right. So he says in verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That means not all of us will die before Jesus comes. Some will be dead, others will be alive. But what we will all have in common when Jesus comes is that we will all be changed. Can you see that? Because our present form cannot go to heaven. Amen. Right. Then he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. Can you see that? The dead will be raised imperishable. They will be raised in a form that cannot perish. And it says, and we will be changed. For this perishable, verse 53, must put on imperishable, isn't it? And this mortal must put on immortality. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you guys following what I'm sharing with you? Okay. So this mortal must put on immortality. Hallelujah. But when this perishable will have put on imperishable, then this mortal will have put on immortality. Then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Now, watch this. This is interesting. He says, the sting of death is sin. Do you see? And the power of sin is the law. It says, the sting of death is sin. Now, sin is something we are able to practice because we are in this flesh. In other words, death is able to access us through sin because we are in a form that can sin. We are in a form that can respond to sin. So as long as we remain in this form, death is able to have a sting. Do you understand? And it's able to have an effect on us. It's able to sting us because it's like throwing a magnet. You see, like I had this dart game that I bought, which was like a magnetic dart game, you see. And it's a magnet, and the sheet also is some kind of a magnet. So when you throw the dart at it, it sticks. Are you getting it? Now, sometimes you throw the dart at it and you miss it and you hit the wall. When you hit the wall, the dart falls to the ground because the wall does not have in it what it takes to attract the dart and hold it. But that's exactly what the sheet has. Do you understand? Now, our bodies are like the magnetic sheet. And when death throws the sting of sin, our bodies are able to catch it. That is why we sin without anybody even teaching us how to sin. Do you remember who taught you how to be angry? Do you remember who told you how to tell the first lie? No. You don't. You just watch these little children, like this little one over there, and you see that sometimes she's upset. And she is upset. And when you look at the context, you see that it's perfect. do you understand? Yeah. You see that she's expressing displeasure at something, and she's doing it rightfully. You can see that we just come with it. That is why a lot of the strongest emotions that are very deadly and that can lead people to do very wicked things, often the emotions take us over even without notice. Do you understand? There's nobody who says, okay, I'm about to get jealous. 3, 2, 1, I'm jealous. Nobody does that. Before you know it, you are so jealous. You don't even understand that resentful feeling you have over hearing that someone got a new job. Yeah. Has it happened to you before? Okay, do you know someone that it has happened to before? Hallelujah. Do you get it? Because we are in a form that attracts the sting. Do you understand? The sting of sin. That is why the Bible says that we have to be changed. God has no plan that any sinners come to heaven. God has no plan at all that there will be any sin in heaven. There will be no sin. If only one thief enters heaven, there will be a lot of problems. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, the Bible says we're going to walk in the streets of gold. I mean, can you imagine what people will do if they get to heaven and see the streets of gold? I mean, you hide your gold in your house in a place and they're even looking for it to steal it. They are breaking into your locked house to steal your gold. How much more when they are walking on the streets of gold? They will remove everything. Yeah. They will change the entire look of heaven. That is why God has no plan to bring any thief into heaven. And there will be no liars in heaven either. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, the Bible is saying that God intends to change us and change us into a form that can fit into the place. And he says, But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, I find it very interesting that this very verse is actually connected to the resurrection of the dead. That it is after he has given us a good teaching about the fact that what you are seeing now is not everything there is to see. Do you understand? He's saying that what we are experiencing now is not everything there is to experience. Just like you would tell a pregnant woman, you probably pat her belly and tell the baby, listen, what you are enjoying now is not everything there is to see. Do you understand? No matter how much you may be enjoying the experience in the womb, it's going to come to an end one day. And even if you don't initiate it, doctors will initiate it. They will take you out. You've been here too long. Come out. Yeah. Because you hear about it all the time. They give you some time, 37 weeks. Then they say, now it's time for voluntary exit. Then you don't come. 38 weeks. And then you don't come. 39 weeks. Then the doctors begin to take plans. And they say that go and come back. If we don't see this baby next week, we will have a plan. So by the 40th week, you don't want to come out. They say we'll take you out before you grow teeth and start chewing all the things in there. Yeah, because if they don't take you out, you are going to grow teeth and everything. You start chewing all the things inside there. And so you are compulsorily evicted from the place. That is how it is. That is how come you realize that there is no one way of dying in life. Have you realized that all people die? All people. Death is the only thing that practices genuine equal opportunities policies. I tell you. Yeah. I mean, everybody has equal opportunities. The sick die, and then very healthy people also die. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Sometimes people are sick, and those who are well think that this person is the next person to go. Yeah. And then to their surprise, they go. Yeah. Death practices equal opportunity between the old and the young. Sometimes there are grandmothers who are expecting that their grandchildren will bury them. Then they'll be sitting there and they get the news that their grandchild died. And they start to cry and say, I was hoping that you will bury me. But you see, it's not like that. There is no order. There is nothing like first come, first to go. No, there's nothing like that. You know, black people die, white people die. Educated people die, uneducated people die. Rich people die, poor people die. Men die, women die. You know, every type of person with race, sexual orientation, education, nothing like that separates death. Death just says that everybody has equal chances. Yeah, equal opportunity employer. You get it? Because the ones we hear about is not true. They say it's equal opportunities, but you go and send your application and they tell you, we will call you, but you see that no. It's not working. Sometimes you appear and they want to hire a woman and you're a man. With your deep voice, you've come to stand there. You're looking for the job. Then they tell you, okay, sir. We will call you back. And that's the last you hear of them. Sometimes they want a man, and then a woman shows up, like a woman just showed up. Yeah. See, sometimes they want a man, and then a woman shows up to apply for the job. And the person who is hiring the people has already made up their minds that no. I don't want a woman for this job. Do you understand? Sometimes they want a younger person, and then an older person comes with the qualifications, and they act and pretend that the older person has the same chance as the younger person, but it's just not true. Do you understand what I'm saying? So death is going to happen to everybody. And I find it interesting that as they are talking about resurrection of the dead, they are telling us that in anticipation of the resurrection, the Bible says that you must be steadfast and immovable. And you must always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Look, there are many things we are doing now which we will discover are actually in vain. But not your toil in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not your toil in the Lord. The Bible says your toil in the Lord is not in vain. And therefore, in anticipation of the resurrection, you need to make sure that you are always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, let me show you why he's saying that. Go to the book of Revelation, please. Chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And we will start reading from verse 12. Go to Revelation. Revelation is the last book of your Bible. Chapter 20 is very near the end. And verse 12. Okay. Now, look at this. It says, "And I saw the dead." Can you see that?
Yeah.
I saw the dead. Okay. Then it says, okay, let's start from verse 11. I think it makes more sense that way. Let's start from verse 11. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away." Everybody was running away, and there was no place found for them. Because if earth and heaven are running away, where are they running to? do you get it? Yeah. So it says, there was no place found for them. Then verse 12, watch this. He says, "Then I saw," verse 12, "I saw the dead, great and small." Because remember, equal opportunities, isn't it? So the dead, both great and small, standing before the throne. Now, do dead people stand or lie? Dead people are not supposed to be standing. So when we see dead people standing here, then it is obvious that they have been raised. Isn't it? They have been resurrected. Okay? And the Bible says, "And books were opened." Can you see that? "And another book was opened, which is the book of" what? "Life." Now watch this. The Bible says, "And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds." So what was in the book? Their deeds. Can you see that? Now, this is the reason why... Okay, let's read on. Let's read on. Let's read on to verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." No escape. You get it? Because, you see, those who were in heaven and earth were running away. You see, then they were thinking that those in the sea have an advantage. Then before they knew it, the sea started pouring out. See, all the people from the tsunamis and all the people who've been drowned and the people, ships that sank and so on. It says the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell or Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Can you see that? And the next verse. "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death. The lake of fire. Then verse 15. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Can you see that? All right. So you can see what is going to happen, or the reason for the resurrection. The reason why God is going to wake all dead people up is not so they can go and catch the bus. Do you understand? The reason why God is going to wake all dead people up is not because it's time to go to school. But God will wake all dead people up one day. And the Bible says waking Jesus up from the dead is supposed to be a sign. It says he is the first fruits. He is the first example of what is going to happen to everybody. Are you getting the picture? He is the first example of what is going to happen to everybody. It's going to happen to Akwesi. It's going to happen to Jonathan. It's going to happen to every one of us. He says that everyone was raised up. And then if you go back to verse 12, you see that the Bible says there were books. Now, this book here, this book which is called the Book of Life, was just one of them. And the Bible says it is the book which must contain your name. If your name was not written in the Book of Life, you were thrown into the lake of fire, which the Bible calls the second death. Are you getting the picture? That is going into hell. Remember, they threw hell itself into lake of fire. Do you understand? So that's where anybody whose name is not in this book is going to go. Hallelujah. See, now I know that this type of preaching is not very popular. But especially as I'm wearing the priest clothes, I better tell you the truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That there is such a thing. You see, there is such, and I'm telling you, that's why I took my time to explain to you that, look, as hard as it is for a baby to believe there is life after the womb, it's probably difficult for you to believe that there is life after this one. Do you understand? But look at it very carefully. There is a great similarity that you begin life in one place, and then you live there for a while, and then you pass on to the second place. And the life in the first place seems always shorter than the life in the second place. Are you getting it? Yeah. And when you are moving from one place to the other, there's always some people crying at the place where you're leaving and some people clapping at the place where you are arriving. Is it not the case? And it looks like the quality of life you live while you are in one place seems to affect the life you get to live when you transition on. Is it not the truth? That is why when people are pregnant, we advise them, don't do drugs, don't smoke and all that. Because it's going to affect the life of the baby after he or she is born. Are you getting it? So the way you are kept, we want pregnant women to take their vitamins and take folic acid and what's the other one you used to take? Multivite and iron tablets. Yeah. Because I used to buy them. You guys owe me a lot, you know. Just to buy iron tablets and folic acid. I remember them. But the reason why we needed her to take the folic acid and the iron tablets and to stay on, and you bet she hates taking medicine also. But she had to take it so that we can have this one. So the life that this person is living, the quality of health she's enjoying is directly related to the quality of life that she got to live through this person over here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so, is it difficult then to believe that the way you live here now will have everything to do with what happens to you after you die? It shouldn't be hard to believe. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. But if you just back up, please, Pastor Munene, and go to the place of the books, you realize that the book of life was not the only book that existed. But the Bible says books were opened. Can you see that? Books were opened. And then another book was opened, which was the book of life. So this book of life is the book that has the registration of the people who have accepted Christ and those who didn't. And if you accepted Christ, your name was in the book. Now the other books, the Bible says the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books. I'm trying to explain to you why in the resurrection story, why in the chapter we just read before,
After teaching us the resurrection and explaining it, they are telling us to abound always in the work of the Lord. Knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Are you getting it? So they are saying that in anticipation of the resurrection, work for God and do your best for the Lord. Are you hearing what? Just leave her alone. Just leave her alone. Just, she'll be fine. Yeah. There's nothing she can do here. Okay. Are you getting what I'm saying? So pay attention to what I'm saying. You should not miss this. Because he's saying that the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. So the books contain their deeds. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, as you live this life right now, there may be so many things you're doing that you think you're getting away with. But I came to tell you this Easter morning that you ain't getting away with nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That a book exists. Do you understand? And the book is recording the secret things and everything that you're doing according to their deeds. Hallelujah. One day the Lord is going to say to you, stand up. And you will stand. And they'll start to flip through the pages. And they'll turn the page up to the page of your life. And they are going to read to you the things that concern you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They're going to read to you about your own life. And the Bible says none of us will escape it. And that's the reason why 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 58. Pastor Melina, give that to us again. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. The scripture says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Can you see that? Be steadfast means keep your course. Do you understand? It means be consistent. It means be serious, be focused. Then it says, and be unmovable. Because all of us have lives that are filled with things that are trying to move us all the time. Some of us are thrown about by our jobs. We're moved by some schooling we're doing. We're moved by some relationship we're in. We're moved by one thing or the other. And the Bible says you must be unmovable and you must always abound. You must always abound in the work of the Lord. Can you see that? Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord, because it's going to show up one day. Hallelujah. Trey, it's going to show up one day. It says, what you do for the Lord, the works that we're doing, is going to show up one day. Hallelujah. That is why I'm grateful for the opportunity to work for God. And you must be glad for the opportunity to do anything for God. Perhaps the 2 or so hours you spend here on Sunday morning is probably the most important 2 hours of your whole week. Yeah. Because you see, the rest of the time, the rest of your life, what are you doing? Except doing something that helps you to find food to eat. Are you getting what I'm saying? The work of finding food to eat cannot be so important. Exactly so. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Yes. I'm telling you something very, very important. You must never forget what I'm telling you today. Hallelujah. That your life is actually being wasted if all you're doing is spending time just doing things that help you find food to eat. How could you live your whole life just finding food to eat to live? Do you understand? Yeah. You live so that you can find food to eat, so you can live, to find food to eat, so you can live, to find food to eat, so you can live. You think about it. There's not much difference between you and a tiger. If you watch
What's the thing? National Geographic, right? And then you watch the programs over there, you see, and you just keep your eye on the thing. You see the tiger wakes up in the morning and then just goes to find food to eat, brings some to its children, and then goes to bed and repeats that cycle the next day. You get it? And it's the story of the jungle. All the animals wake up. They don't go to school. They don't go to movie theaters. They don't do anything. They just wake up, go to find food to eat, and come back and sleep, and repeat that same cycle the next day. Do you understand? And your life just continues in that cycle until you meet something greater than you, which kills you, and then that's it. And many of us are actually in that cycle. Joel, okay, now you can catch her. Because when she disappears there, we don't know. Okay. All right. Actually, can you try carrying her, see if she will be nice to you? Hey. She says no. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I'm just ending. You just listen to me. I'm just finishing. Hallelujah. All right, carry her now. Good. Yeah, it's working. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still with me? Yeah. Okay. So this, I'm saying that your life must be engaged in more than what you do for a living. Do you understand? We call it what you do for a living because it helps you to live. But it doesn't give you the reason for living. Do you understand? Something that helps you to live cannot be the reason why you are living. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Something that helps you to live cannot be the reason why you are living. It's like saying that something that helps the car to move, like the gas, it can never be the reason for the car. How do you buy a car because you want to put gas in it? Is this making sense what I'm saying? Yeah. How can you buy a car because you want to put gas in it? You get it? But many of us, our lives are like that. We live to work. And our lives don't lead into any work for the Lord. And the Bible says all of that is being recorded. And one day we will stand before the Lord to account for it. There are some of us who have gifts and talents. When you go home, you can read Matthew chapter 25 and you see how people were judged. And the basis for the judgment. You see the questions they were asked. I mean, any prudent student who is writing an exam, you need to become familiar with past questions. Is it not the case? Yeah. If you are planning to meet God for judgment, you need to ask, what are some of the questions that were asked to other people? Amen. One of them is what you did with your talents, what you did with your gifts. Some of you can. That's why you should thank me for giving you the opportunity to sing. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you should thank me. Because perhaps I've given you one of the most valuable things that you may need when that day comes and the books are opened concerning you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why we need to thank God for the opportunity to be involved in the orphanage ministry that our church has. Or even to be involved in the crusade ministry, the Healing Jesus Crusade, where thousands of souls are being won at a time and so on. Because the Bible says we must abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Can I have an amen? Amen. I mean, for everything else, our toil is in vain. Hallelujah. Amen. At the end of the day, it will come to nothing. Do you think it really matters? If I tell you that my tank, my gas tank is full, do you think it really matters which gas, where I bought it? Are you sure? So what do you think of someone who is looking down on another person because he says, my gas comes from Shell and your gas comes from Chevron. So you're thinking, so what does it matter? That's exactly what it is when it comes to even what we do to find food to eat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you think it really matters how the lion found food and how the rabbit found food. Do you think one way of finding food to eat is superior to another? No, they all found food. And the truth is, they all can't even eat the same thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I want you on this Resurrection Sunday to let your mind be on what is important. What is important is the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. All of you are blessed to have the opportunity to be part of a church that is new, that is starting, that is growing. That means there's a lot of work. That means there's a lot of opportunity to have something under your belt before you meet the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Most of the time when you join a church, it's already big. It's already large. There's almost nothing for you to do. But not so in a church that is small like this one. There is great opportunity for you to work for the Lord. And I want to encourage all of you to get involved and to work for God. Hallelujah. He says, be steadfast and unmovable. That means immovable by your work. Immovable by school. Do not be moved even by distance. And of course, do not be moved by not having a car. Hallelujah. But always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Hallelujah. There's some of us who spend more time at the gym than we spend in the house of the Lord. Have you seen anybody who never died because they went to the gym? See, one day when I lived in New York City, I heard, it was a Sunday morning, it had snowed. And then I heard that, have you heard of the Atkins diet? Mm-hmm. You have?
Yeah.
Okay. The guy who invented the Atkins diet, I heard on Sunday evening when I got home that he had died. They said he had slipped in some snow on 42nd Street. Our church is on 43rd Street. And he had slipped just a few blocks away from the service while we were in church. And I think he hit his head on the pavement and had suffered some kind of hemorrhage and died. You know. And so I was just thinking that, you know, this is the man who has invented the diet that is saving lives. But he has to die through another method altogether. Are you getting it? You see, death is like when you choose one way of protecting yourself from dying, like eating right. You see, you are like a person in this room who has closed this door and has all these ones open and says nothing can come in. Do you understand? There's more than one way of killing you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So none of us is exempt from it. None of us will escape from it. The only thing we can do is to prepare for what happens after it. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is to be loaded with works for the Lord. Amen. Amen. So no matter how busy you are, try to do some work for the Lord. No matter how busy you are, try to attend some service. You know, how does attending church work for the Lord? Attending church helps the church to build up. Amen. And as the church builds up, more people have faith to join it. Because it's difficult to join a church when you go and only two people are there and they say it's a church. Even if the priest is wearing a robe. It's still very difficult to join such a church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But as you continue to come, you create an environment where it's easy for people to belong. We are all building the church. And that's why I'm saying that those 2 hours you spend here perhaps are the highlights of your whole week. They are the best 2 hours of your whole week. Hallelujah. The 2 hours you spend here cannot be compared with the 8 hours you spend on your job. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Finally, I think of this verse that says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Are you familiar with that verse? It says, what does it profit a man? It means if you gain the whole world, if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, the Bible says it's not a profit, it's a loss. Is it not the case? Yeah. So if gaining the whole world and losing your soul
is a loss, then the work of gaining the whole world cannot be more important than the work of preserving your soul.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
That what you do that rewards you with the world can never be more important than what you do that preserves your soul from backsliding. That means going to work Monday to Friday can never be more important than going to church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you see how great God's mercies are in putting us in a place like this? So it's a blessing, and I pray that this Easter Sunday, you never forget it. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Everybody just bow your heads. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you on this Resurrection Sunday to just reflect on the message I have just shared with you. The Bible says, all the dead will rise again. And Jesus rose from the dead as the first example to show us that we will not remain dead forever. And the Bible actually says not everybody will die, but some will be alive when the Lord comes. When that day of judgment comes, some will be alive and some will be dead. But no matter on which side of life you are, alive or dead, the Bible says we will all stand before the Lord. There will be nowhere to escape. Heaven and earth will not be a hiding place for anyone. And of course, the sea will not be a place to hide, because the sea will give up what is in it. And the Bible says books will be open. Books will be open. Let me ask you, my dear friend, this afternoon, what is in your book right now? What is in your book? What are the things written about you in the book? Is it something you can be proud of? Is it something you can stand confidently by? Is it something you can rejoice in? What is in the book concerning your life? The apostle said, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always being heavily engaged in the work of the Lord. Do you have more time for other things than you do for the house of the Lord, for the work of God? Do you have more time for personal entertainment than you do for the house of the Lord? Do you have more time for shopping than you do for the house of the Lord? How do you spend your time? The Bible says it will all be there. It will all be in the book. It will all be in the book. It will all be in the book. Thank you, Lord. I want you to pray today. There are two prayers I want us to pray. The first one is to be sure that our names, first of all, are written in the book of life. Because your name being absent from the book of life is a disqualifier. If your name is not in the book of life, the Bible says they were all cast into the lake of fire. That's different from attending a church. That's different from being the member of a church. That's different from saying I'm an Anglican. It's different from saying I'm Catholic. It's different from saying I belong to Lighthouse. It's your name written in the book of life. The way your name gets written in the book of life is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Is to recognize that He died for your sins
according to the scriptures. And God raised him from the dead. That's the way to get your name into that book. And then secondly, I want you to ask yourself, what is in the book concerning me? Since my name got registered in the Lamb's Book of Life, what else has been written about me in the book? What is in the book? It says books were opened. What is in the book? Am I abounding in the work of the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity if you're here this afternoon and you say, Pastor, I want to be sure that my name enters the book of life. I want you to raise your right hand and I'll pray for you. You want to be sure that your name enters that book of life. Just keep it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just raise your hand. I can see your hand. God bless you. These things are real. These things are true. If you can believe that life goes beyond the womb, you must believe that life will go beyond this place. And especially when you've seen so many people you have known depart, you must believe that they went somewhere. And I pray that God will grant you that faith to believe. I want everybody whose hand is up just to join me, and everybody else join them to say this prayer. We all want to be sure that our names are in that book of life, in the name of Jesus. Just say with me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the resurrection of the dead. And thank you for this Easter Sunday. Today I give my life to you. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Because I want to be sure that my name is written in the book of life. Write my name in the book of life, Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. I do not want to go to hell. I do not want to end up in the lake of fire. I want to be with you. Forgive my sins. Wash me by the blood of Jesus. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Now I want to pray a second prayer. And this second prayer, maybe you're here this afternoon and you're saying, I'm a Christian and I'm saved. Perhaps even after this prayer, you're saved. But you know that there's not much to talk about in the book. There's not much to write about in the book. Because while you've been a Christian, you have lived for yourself. You have esteemed other things as being more important than the work of God, than your relationship with God. You have more time for parties than you do have for church and the work of God. You have more time to chat with friends than you have for praying to God. You have more time to work and to search for money. You make more sacrifices, greater sacrifices. You can stay awake sometimes for hours and for days without any sleep. And yet when it comes to God, you have little or no time for Him. All these things are being recorded according to the scriptures. And they are going against you. And my dear friend, one day you will stand before God and account for it. The Bible says our deeds are recorded. Our deeds are recorded. Even the ones that are secret, the ones that no one knows about, one day it will be open before everybody. So I want to lead you in another prayer to pray and repent from being passive towards the work of God. And to make that promise to the Lord that you will now be involved and give yourself to his work in the name of Jesus. If you're here and that is the prayer you want to pray, if you're here and that applies to you, you also raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for all these hands that are up. And I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will have mercy on them. I pray for repentance, O God. We stand before you and we repent. We repent, O God, of our sins. We repent, O God, of our passivity towards the work of God. In the name of Jesus. We repent, O God, for placing other things, our own pleasures, Lord, parties, oh God, times at the gym, exercise, and different kinds of things, which though are beneficial, should not be esteemed above the things of God. We have more time to go shopping than we have for your work. We have more time to watch movies than we have for reading the Bible. We have more time for socializing with friends. Sometimes pointless socializing that increases our tendency to be ungodly. Yet we have more time and are more devoted to these things than we have ever been to your work. But today, we repent. We repent and we pray that you will help us put our priorities right. Help us to arrange things in the proper order. Help us to put important things first. Help us to put first things first. Help us to abound in the work of God. Help us to begin to attend the services, weekday services, Sunday services. Help us to do the things we have to do, knowing that it is all being recorded. Help us to be faithful with our tithe. That helps to build the house of God. Help us to be faithful with our offerings. Help us to be kind to orphans and to the poor in the name of Jesus. Help us to be rich in all the things that you count, all the things that matter. Help us to use our gifts and our talents. Let there be no one in this congregation who has a hidden talent or hidden ability that is not being employed and used to help to build your work. We pray in the name of Jesus and thank you for your blessing. Thank you so much for a day like this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.